How to get married the right way. This is a subject I shall deal with today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over this station at this time. Let us pray. Father, we pray now that you grant divine illumination on the sharing of thy precious truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I am on a continuing story of my life that began in Nazi Germany and that brought me to the United States in 1955. Now, first, I have to do some cleanup after last week's radio program. I did not explain the reason for my prayer request to the Lord when I was a 19-year-old young man in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was disillusioned with Christianity, and so I prayed, saying, Lord, please let me die or give me a painless disease. Now, what I really had in mind, and of course the Lord knew what I had in mind, is this. Lord, either let me go to heaven now because Christianity is no fun, or give me a painless disease so I can justly quit my university studies as a pre-medical student. I can justly quit my job as a lab technician, so that I might end up in a hospital, so that I may have time alone with the Word of God and in prayer and in the study of the Word. You see, I had a very ambitious mother, and she had raised 4 children. She lost one during the war. She lost her husband, and she wanted all of us children to have a university education. And when we would slack up, she would stand over us like a dragon and make us go on. So I had a good reason to ask the Lord to get me out of there, because only He could. My mother wouldn't let me do that. So I asked for a painless disease because I did not want to be distracted by pain in my search after God. If I had money, I could have taken a sabbatical leave. I could have rented a cottage in the mountains instead of asking for a hospital bed. But my pockets were empty. Now, it's foolish and it's selfish in a way that request may sound to you today. It did not sound foolish to God. He took me serious. He gave me tuberculosis, a painless disease, and I was laid aside in a sanatorium, a hospital that specialized in tuberculosis for 16 months, and I was taught of God. The medicine the doctor gave me that cured most people in a sanatorium did not work on me. And so they gave my TB bacillus to a guinea pig. And they experimented with the guinea pig that had my disease. And one day my guinea pig died from my disease. And so the doctors came to my bedside and let me know that the guinea pig had passed away. And they told me that they had nothing left to save me. That is, my friend, where I left off last week. Now, I want you to know, the moment one of the doctors said they had nothing left to save me, then at that precise moment, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, life and death is in my hands. Just rest. I will take care of you. And my friend, no matter what a doctor may say about your condition in reference to life and death, God will have the last word. But to make a long story short now, for a few more months, I was just kind of getting along. And then they re-x-rayed me, and they found out that perhaps through surgery, they could remove the affected areas of my lung. And so I had surgery number one, and several weeks later, I had surgery number two, and they took some lung out of each side. And then while I was there, I said, we might as well work on the legs, because I had varicose veins, and they stripped those out. And then after 12 months in a sanatorium, I was sent home. Well, I was home only a short time, and then I had to go back to the sanatorium another 4 months because the doctors were misreading my x-rays. But now I must go back for a moment to the question I asked last week and did not answer. Are Christians better than non-Christians? The answer my church taught me was no. Christians are only better off in the sense that they go to heaven, but they do not live better lives. And you see, when I said that, when I gave that answer to the student I witnessed to, the Holy Spirit did something in my heart that was very shocking. He said, I don't agree with that. Well, As I got into the sanatorium, I was asking the Holy Spirit to teach me, and there the Lord showed me that, yes, Christians are not better as or don't live better lives as non-Christians if they are carnal Christians. But if they are Spirit-filled Christians, then they live better lives than the non-Christians. And the answer is in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, where the Apostle Paul is writing to these believers, these born-again believers, and he says to them in verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Or a better translation from the Greek text is, "and walk after the manner of men." In other words, he says, because you Christians, although you're born again, because you're still carnal, because you have envy and strife in your hearts, because of that, you walk like the men of the world, and there is no difference in the quality of your life. And that is what I learned in a hospital as the Holy Spirit was teaching me and illuminating His Word to me. And I discovered in this hospital stay, and my dear friends, unfortunately, it took several years before I found the way out. I share with you the way out of the carnal nature and the following way deprograms. But now I must stay with my story. I must stay with the thread that I started. So after I got out of the hospital, I re-enrolled in the university, finished my studies there. And then in my last year of my studies, I met my wife. Now, what the Lord had told me sometime before that, He says, "You are not wise enough to make the choice for the right woman for your life because you don't know what's ahead of you." And He told me that He had a divine plan for me, and He has a divine plan for every person in the world, and it's marked out to every single detail, even to the activities of every single day. And God's plans are wonderful plans. And this is why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." So I knew that God had a room there in heaven, a closet in heaven that had my name on it, Reimar Schulze, and they were wonderful treasures. In this closet marked Reimar Schulze, wonderful experiences and wonderful things and wonderful revelations were in this Reimar Schulze closet in heaven that God would bring to me, that God would reveal to me if I would only love Him with all my heart. He would bring them to me as I was walking with God. And so one of the things I knew that God had in this little closet up there, or big closet there in heaven, was He had the name of my wife in there. And now it is only God that could show me who she was or where she was. And so I also found this to be very biblical, because in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, my friend, the second chapter, we see the creation of Adam the man. And then it says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He," or God built it, "into a woman and brought her unto the man." The first couple that got married had this wonderful experience that God brought the woman to the man. And so I said, well, this is a pattern. This is a pattern for all young men, that God, if God would be allowed to have His way, if we wait on God, if we don't go into dating and playing around and experimenting and using our own judgment, and if we're not drawn away by the lust of flesh, if we wait on God, God in His own time will bring the wife that is for us to us. Well, hallelujah. So I, my friend, waited. And of course, you know, when you're young and you want to get married. I wanted to get married at 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. It was when I was 24 years of age. that while I was attending a Bible conference center in the Rocky Mountains, that I met my sweetheart. She was a nursing student at a hospital in Chicago. I was a pre-medical student at the University of Wisconsin. So we both came from different states, both wanting to go to this Bible conference center to learn more about the Lord. And when I was there, all of a sudden this young lady was walking across the gravel road. I'd never seen her before in my lifetime. And there she was, and as soon as I saw her, Jesus spoke to my heart, and he said, "There is your wife." Well, hallelujah. I was happy. I was thrilled in my heart. But I want you to know something. I thought, well, this is so important that I better be careful. So instead of me going to her right away, he says, "Hey, young lady, by the way, the Lord just told me, you're my wife." I said, I better wait and pray and pray and pray to be absolutely sure that this is really the voice of God. It's not my impulse or my idea or some sensation. It is really the voice of God. And so during the week or so of the Bible conference, I watched her and she wasn't watching me. And I found out later on she was watching me when I was not watching her. And so we kind of, in a way, had our eyes one upon the other. I got back to Wisconsin, and then I prayed every day, every single day for 90 days. I said, "Lord, is this really the one?" And every time the Lord said, "This is the one, this is the one," for 90 days. And after 9 days, I said, "Well, this is good enough, long enough, and I know for sure God has told me that this is the wife for me." And then I wrote her a letter and made arrangements for our first date. And so I took the train down to Chicago. I didn't have a car. And then I rode the bus, and I got to the hospital where she was a nursing student, and we went out for a first ride together. Oh, I'll never, ever forget when she got into the car and sat down next to me. And in a few seconds, the Lord reconfirmed in a beautiful way that I found a great pearl, and that this is a woman I would feel comfortable with, I would feel secure with, and I would feel at home with the rest of my life. So we drove down to the Lakeshore Drive. It's a road by Lake Michigan. And you know what I did there on our first date? Well, my friend, I gave her what I learned from Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8. I kind of preached to her, and we had a good time together. So, dear one, I want to encourage you, young man and young woman, God has a divine plan for you. Don't get in the flesh, and the one he has for you will come your way. Now, in closing, let me give you my mailing address in case some of you want to write me or you want to have this cassette tape. And here it is. Write to Call to Obedience. Call to Obedience, Post Office Box 299, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, that's K-O-K-O-M-O, Kokomo, K-O-K-O-M-O, Indiana, 46903, USA, and the tape today is tape number 808. Send $3 and we sent you today's tape. Once again, write to Call to Obedience, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, Indiana 46903, USA. Today's tape is 808 and send $3. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.